The spirit of performance defines Acura. And now, it's electric. Introducing the all-electric ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. While what powers their cars may change, the energy that makes Acura never will. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system and up to 313-mile range on a single charge, and a Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, the ZDX is everything they said electric could never be. It was built with the driver in mind, just like Acura has been doing since the beginning. We could talk all day, but the only way to experience this electric performance is to drive it yourself. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
Market moving insight and analysis. Join Jim Cramer, David Faber, and me, Carl Quintanilla, on the opening bell hour of CNBC's Squawk on the Street.
Good Thursday morning. Welcome to Squawk on the Street. I'm Carl Quintanilla with David Faber at Post 9 of the New York Stock Exchange. Cramer's in Philadelphia today. We'll get to Jim in just a second. Futures pretty steady as we get a fresh batch of corporate earnings this morning. Taiwan Semi, Blackstone, CSX. Philly Fed was a surprise of 15.5, best in 2 years, and prices paid, highest since December. Our roadmap begins with Tesla's troubles, though. Shares awfully close to a 52-week low this morning as Deutsche cuts Tesla on Tesla's, quote, thesis-changing shift from a lower-cost EV to robo.
Plus, stocks overall are looking for some traction. This after the S&P notched its fourth straight down day. The Nasdaq remains on pace for its longest weekly losing streak since December of 2022. And Las Vegas Sands is amongst the biggest laggards. That's ahead of the open. That's despite an earnings beat. Blackstone, as Carl just said, Alaska Air, D.R. Horton. We've got a host of companies that are reporting earnings, and we'll get to all of them.
Let's kick things off with Tesla today. On track to open awfully close to a fresh 52-week low. Deutsche cuts to hold today from buy. Cuts its target to 123. They were at 189. Jim, they were at 250 in February as there's a whole revisiting on what exactly the future model of Tesla is going to be.
Yeah, I mean, look, if you're going to roll the dice and decide that what really matters is self-drive, something that has not worked for anyone, to tell the truth, then what you really do, you box yourself in a corner. What people really wanted was a cheaper car to compete against the Chinese. We thought that he was a better manufacturer. We thought that there was no doubt about it that a cheaper car would be additive to earnings, and then we would prove that the great American company is better than the rest of the world. David, what we got was a gamble. You know what? Can we win? Can he win that gamble? Because so far, when you have full self-driving, it's not been something that works.
It hasn't yet come to fruition. That's a fair point, Jim. Despite what have, of course, been promises year after year that they were going to be there. And of course, the idea is just to remind people that once you do get to that, you can charge a significant fee to drivers and essentially have their cars working for them when they aren't in them. The idea of creating a taxi fleet, essentially, of robo Teslas, which would clearly be incredibly additive to margins overall. But they aren't there at this point. And I think that through the years, it's been more difficult to really believe exactly when that day will come. And clearly, in this case, the Deutsche Bank analyst no longer is interested in sort of waiting. They're talking about 2027 for the Model 2. That is that lower priced automobile, that EV that is no longer a part of the near term consideration, Jim. And I did note, so they go to $2.40 in their estimates for 27 from what had been 425. Overall cut numbers across the board. Hence, you know, even with current multiples, you can't get a price target that's anywhere near where they are right now.
No, I think they're going to have a loss this quarter. I think this Hail Musk play was played out already by Steve Scher at Hertz. It failed. I expect to see something that is monumental. Instead, I see something that is incremental. And that, Carl, is not going to stop this decline because, if it were on earnings, all right, if on earnings the stock's 23.25, I don't believe that. You're looking at a man right now who better have something. But the issue is, Carl, before I say you got to sell Tesla, is maybe he does. He's not playing his hand. But right now we've got, we've got some top leaders are cashing out. We don't know what they have in terms of something that is more profitable than an ICE, so to speak, in combustion or hybrids, which is what Ford has. Now, Ford stock hasn't done exactly well. It's down double digits in the last few weeks. But, Carl, what I see here is a stock that is for sale across the board without an answer. And the answer has to be not a Cybertruck, not a robo-taxi, but a better darn car.
Even Morgan Stanley's Adam Jonas, who is long-term outperform, I think his price target is in the 300 range, says his bear case of 100 might be in play in the near term as we get earnings on Tuesday, Jim. Meanwhile, new car registrations in the EU, biggest drop in 16 months. New EV registrations down 11. That's for the industry. New Tesla registrations down 30. A bit of a reset as well on just the overall adoption curve on fully electric.
Well, let's just put it as it really is. Other than China, the affordable EV is no more. And I would say not the next 2 to 3 months, but perhaps as long as the next 2 to 3 years could be a desert for EV. And there are still so many companies that are coming out and saying, listen, we are the answer to EV. We can help EV. Well, you know what? I'd rather have AI than EV. Two much better letters of the alphabet.
Although I think there is a belief that generative AI, in terms of changing the way that they use the data and being able to actually empower self-driving, is changing for Tesla. We'll get them there more quickly, Jim. I know a number of the bulls, at least, are pointing to that as a real possibility and that they are making real progress. Again, we'll have to wait and see.
Well, you know, David, I want to disagree with that.
Okay.
Because probably about maybe 7 years ago, I was in a Waymo. And they plugged in, which, of course, is owned by Google, which is owned by Alphabet. David, the Waymo was able to identify, one, the best pizza shop within a couple miles of Google. Couple miles. And two, was able to take me there as long as someone was at the wheel. So, au contraire, mate, I think that there's something there. And maybe at that progression, it might be able to take me to an even better pizza shop that's closer.
Jim, do you think, overall, do you think the robo-taxi vision over, the next 15, 20 years is legitimate? Or are we such a car culture, in America at least, that we just enjoy owning and driving our own vehicles?
Well, I think that there's still a love affair with the car. We know that from registrations. We know that from both new with GM, secondarily Ford when it comes to trucks. We know that that from used with Carvana. It is not something that we really like. Now, who would like it? J.B. Hunt, because they had such a crummy quarter and they don't necessarily want people behind the wheel. But, you know, I keep coming to that vision, Carl, where a truck is passing me. I look over to it and there's no one driving it. And my tendency is to want to go to a road stop immediately, kind of rethink, get my brain together. It's just not. Time has not come. Now, you give
it's
that 10 to 20 years.
It's
oh,
gonna
sure, David, come it's going to happen. And you know what else is going to happen?
Yeah, tell me what.
You're going to be able. Well, you're going to be turning 80 by that point. And sure enough, you're going to want self-drive because you won't be able to see.
That's true. I will want
me.
Self-driving.
I hope I'd be able to pedal.
I'll be Mr. Magoo.
I'm encouraged that you said anything positive about AI at all, that it's not just going to kill us.
I know. Some people have remarked on the fact that I'm so worried about artificial general intelligence, but not when it's behind the wheel of a car. All right, fair point.
Look,
what about the robots,
I'm sorry,
Jim?
Your birthday
Don't forget
is front
about
and center.
The robots
your
at Tesla,
Your birthday is front
okay?
and center.
That, no, the robots at Tesla could be the key. They could be the key to the company's salvation. I kid in a way,
oh, okay.
And then I don't. I don't know if we have our video. I love that video. But, you know, at some point, you talk about artificial general intelligence. You put that in the robot, and maybe they're going to become the biggest robot maker in the world. I mean, Musk has said there'll be a one-to-one ratio at some point between people and robots.
Well, good. Good. Just go buy the incredibly shrinking NVIDIA, because the chips have to be from NVIDIA if you want to make it work.
By the way, Jim, it's not just shares of Tesla that have been, I mean, they were down all, they've been down all quarter. That momentum to the downside continues. But AMD, one of your favorites, that looks pretty bad, that chart. Snowflake, that doesn't look so good. I mean, we are sort of seeing some significant weakness over the last month and a half or so. Your thoughts?
We are in a serious correction. and no one wants to admit it. Those two charts, AMD and Snowflake, show you that if you've been buying tech, may I suggest that you buy Procter & Gamble. If you take a look at Procter & Gamble, the chart of PG, you're going to see you're crushing it. You're crushing tech, which, you know, P&G, they have tech. They've got some plastic, David, that it might decompose it by the time we have self-driving cars. But there you go. I mean, if you take a look at Procter during this terrible month of April, you see a better chart than you do AMD. It's been painful, David. And I think that people don't want to acknowledge the pain. I have the pain of NVIDIA. You know, I mean, look, there's the ecstasy, and then you've got the agony.
Mm-hmm. I know, but it's hard to get particularly sympathetic when it comes to a stock that is still up. What's NVIDIA up this year? I mean, you know, you're still talking about incredible performance. That said, yes, the chart doesn't look great the last 3-4 weeks for NVIDIA, even though the last 3 months, the stock is still up 47%. And you can see, of course, for the year over 71.
NVIDIA does this thing. And what people don't realize is that if you look at the last 2 quarters of last year, NVIDIA did nothing. I was starting to get a lot of heat because I liked NVIDIA. Like I was going to rename my dog that is rest in peace, you know, something else. Like I was going to go rename it Procter. I mean, what's really happening here is NVIDIA is digesting its tremendous gains. They've got a brand new supercomputer that comes out in September that everybody wants. Instead, all we hear is that Zuckerberg, somebody at Google, and Amazon have competing chips when they're not competing. Where did that come from? They're not competing. They are synergistic. Okay, mate?
He mated me again, Carl.
He did. That's cold.
Me.
That's ice cold.
I didn't checkmate. I just mated.
He keeps mating me. Thinks I'm on that
you
boat
get him on a
him.
Boat for 2 days, and everybody's a mate.
Suddenly, go to the starboard. Right. It's all sorts of nautical references.
Jim, meanwhile, speaking of the broader markets in AI, Bernstein, Tony Saganaki, who's been right on Tesla 150, by the way, says that he now expects Apple to roll out most AI features in September. With the iPhone, as opposed to in June at the developers conference, that might put a delay in some people's hopes of what Apple has in mind.
Well, I would say I would flip it a little. I didn't expect it to be that soon. I didn't expect this iteration to be better. Here is a stock that is holding on for dear life. Again, like Apple, I say, NVIDIA, I say, own it, don't trade it. But everything points to, David, a missed quarter. And people can't look through this valley because it looks like the valley of the shadow of Apple death. And it isn't. It isn't.
June is not that far away. You still may get significant announcements, of course, that then will be included in whatever is the next generation iPhone and or the software that goes with it. Jim,
look, I want a Vision Pro NVIDIA tie up, but we're not going to get that.
Did you know
we used to read the Lord's Prayer? Did you know we used to read the Lord's Prayer in elementary school?
That's great. Good to know. And the Pledge of Allegiance, I remember that.
When we come back, it's been 4 years since the start of the pandemic, as you know. The latest sign that companies are ramping up their push to require employees back into the office, in some cases, 5 days a week. Got a bunch of calls on the sell side, including one on our parent Comcast, Oracle, Estee Lauder, Zoom. Take a look at the pre-market here. Gaining a little steam. Squawk on the Street continues in a minute.
Hi, I'm Ben Rizzuto, wealth strategist at Janus Henderson Investors. Is a brighter future possible? At Janus Henderson, we think it is. For 90 years, we've worked to help clients achieve superior financial outcomes and fulfill our purpose of investing in a brighter future together. We know that this means our thinking and our investments are helping to shape millions of futures. At Janus Henderson, we are committed to helping you invest in a brighter future for the next 90 years and beyond. To learn more, go to janushenderson.com.
What's on the horizon for financial markets? At PGIM, it's a question that over 1,400 investment professionals relentlessly research in pursuit of your long-term goals. Specialized across asset classes, but united in collaboration, our teams provide global and local expertise. Our investments shape tomorrow, today. Pursue your tomorrow with PGIM, a leading global asset manager.
4 years since the beginning of the pandemic, more companies are looking to phase out work-from-home arrangements. One example this morning is Truist, a company now requiring its investment banking staff, at least, to be in the office 5 days a week, beginning June 1. Jim, this is some people believe it is involving some FINRA emergency orders that roll over at the end of May. Others say it's about innovation, team building, security.
It's tough to tell, but it may be a function of all of those. I mean, for instance, SL Green, which is a company that many people wrote off because it really is classic Midtown New York real estate that is commercial. Very good numbers last night, Carl, and saying a lot of things that you said, which is that there's this mosaic of reasons why people are coming back. And to me, SL Green was ground zero. Now, we do know that there's some cities that have struggled for some time, like a city like St. Louis. But that may be far more related to the actual companies that are there that are slimming down. San Jose, which used to have 1 million people, now is 900,000 people. But I think it's now it just seems like a matter of time. Even there are many people who are fighting it, particularly the 40-year-olds and the 50-year-olds. David, you know that if the 40 and 50-year-olds were to capitulate, then the 20s and 30s would have to follow. But it was surprisingly the people who we thought might be up for C-suite that really led this. And I think that they are coming back.
Yeah, or being ordered to be back. I mean, it is an interesting dynamic. Of course, we've talked about it so often over these last 4 years. I don't think we're ever going to get back really to fully 5 days a week. You know, I do a lot of walking around. And yes, Monday seemed a lot busier, for example. Friday, tomorrow, things are going to be quiet. They always are. And you pointed this out too, Jim, as well. I mean, I would note that younger people entering the workforce very much want to and are making it a part of their job search to work for companies that are in the office. They have recognized, I think, many younger people that starting your career remote is no way to start a career. But to your point, you need those older workers to actually be in order to learn something instead of just doing a job that you otherwise could do from home. So there is that overall dynamic. You know, John Donahoe joined Sarah last week. He's the CEO of Nike. I mean, he, in fact, blamed a lack of innovation at the company in part on not working from the office. Take a listen.
In hindsight, it turns out it's really hard to do bold, disruptive innovation, to develop a boldly disruptive shoe on Zoom. And so our teams came back together 18 months ago in person, and we recognized this. And so we realigned our company, and over the last year, we have been ruthlessly focused on rebuilding our disruptive innovation pipeline along with our iterative innovation pipeline.
As Nike, obviously, there's a lot of different issues for that, but I thought that was interesting, Jim.
Well, David, maybe New Balance is using Teams because New Balance innovated the hell out of its shoe in the last year and a half. So as much as I love John. I will point out that other people had better Zoom and therefore had better shoes. By the way, for a cheaper price in the new frugality, give me New Balance, ixnay Nike.
We might talk some Nike later on. There's some reports that they're closing in on a deal with Caitlin Clark for her own shoe. Might be worth some eight figures. But I remember Andy Jassy coming on, David, in like 21, saying that remote means you don't have that conversation coming out of a meeting where a lot of innovation happens. By the way, nice chart from Lizanne Saunders this morning looking at the dispersion in return to office rates in between cities like Austin, for example, at the top, New York, San Francisco. Some of this, Jim, people believe is your exposure to finance and financial services, where, as we said, security, network security might mean you got to come in.
Well, I also think that when you let's say you want to do a RIF, reduction in force. The easiest thing to do is to reduce the people who you don't even know. It is. I mean, it's a fact of life. I've done way too many RIFs in my life. And the ones, there was one where I was going to pick the names out of the hat. And then I realized at the last minute that was ill-advised. But it's so much easier to fire someone, David, if you don't know who they are, versus someone who sits next to you and watches Peacock and discusses the recent traitor. And David, that is not traitor, T-R-A-D-E-R. But that's what people want to discuss.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I'll make sure to put that one on my list if you say it's worth doing.
I put that on, David, because Comcast, you didn't mention parent company this network yet and how we're doing. When does that come up? When is that a favor report?
You want... Well, I don't know that that's going to happen, Jim. The stock is still below $39, I think, this morning. There was an upgrade or some positive comments from Morgan Stanley, so I'll give you that. But it has not been a good year for the stock of our parent company. That said, to come back to work from home,
what is your favorite report? Coinbase?
I don't have a favorite
report
today.
How about Paramount?
I'm not going to do one of those things. You got requests? I'll take them under consideration. All right. I am happy, Carl, that all these CEOs who kept talking about
Charter.
How productive we are from home have finally shut up about it.
Yes.
You know, it was so, I'm looking at the numbers. We're very productive. Oh, we're more productive than we've ever been. We're going to be great. We're going to cut our real estate footprint by 80%.
Yes. We raised our eyebrows at that back then. We'll get Cramer's Mad Dash countdown to the opening bell. We will dig into this top pick name of Comcast over at Morgan Stanley. They're only overweight in cable satellite. When we return.
Let's get straight to the point. You want to grow your portfolio to fight rising costs of inflation or pay off your debt or anything standing in the way of you and financial freedom, right? Yahoo Finance, our sponsor today, can help. For more than 25 years, Yahoo Finance has been helping great investors like you. Whether you're a seasoned investor or just looking for tips, Yahoo Finance makes it super easy by putting all the tools and data you need in one spot. Yahoo Finance takes a holistic look at the financial news cycle, including breaking news, original editorial perspectives, analyst ratings, independent research, customizable charts, and more. You can securely link your brokerage accounts for a unified view of your wealth, including 401k and other investments. That's how Yahoo Finance gives you insights and helps you take a look at your wealth in its entirety. That big picture perspective is what great investors need. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit the brand behind every great investor, yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com. That's yahoofinance.com.
Got some pre-market gainers, especially in housing. D.R. Horton's going to lead the way this morning after a Q2 beat. Orders up 14, does guide higher for full-year revenue, even with mortgage rates at a 30-year fixed yesterday, at least, coming in a little tad above 7. Opening bell coming up in about 5 minutes. And don't forget, you can catch us anytime, anywhere. Just listen to and follow the Squawk on the Street Opening Bell podcast.
All right, we'll call it the Amtrak Mad Dash, New York to Philadelphia. What do we got?
Okay, David, it's been a while since we've talked positively about eBay. But I've got to tell you, just like your amazing bottom call in PayPal, when you did that terrific interview, which was the bottom, this morning, Morgan Stanley double upgrades eBay, going from sell to buy. Why? Because they think eBay is the best equipped to use generative AI, and that's to make it so that the listings are more intelligent. David, I like this piece. It's been so, when was the last time you heard anything positive about eBay? Can you recall it?
Not really. It's been a while. I have had some interviews with the CEO, but yeah, it has been quite some time. You're right, Jim.
But we're always asking, is anyone using generative AI to their advantage? I thought this piece was very notable. Because what it really said is it's just reignited eBay's growth. David, I love that. You're talking about a very inexpensive stock. Of course, they also downgrade Etsy. I wish they hadn't done that. They're calling it a pair trade, but they're saying there's no gross. They just don't have the merchandise value. They're not having a lot of traffic. They're not doing a lot of sales. Get out of the lingo. But you know what, David? You could do worse than buying eBay. And by the way, again, I want to come back to that PayPal interview. That company is getting traction far more than I thought it would. A lot of capital, a lot of common sense. I like both eBay and PayPal as yesteryear comeback stories.
The two were once linked, as we all know, Carl, a long time ago, before they were split up by John Donahoe, who pushed last night, you know.
John Donahoe, love him. Love him. Have you looked at the Hoka? Love him. Have you looked at the On? Love him.
Sneakers.
Okay. A lot of love here.
Real-time exchange. At the big board today, it's digital marketing platform Ibotta celebrating an IPO today. We'll talk to the CEO at 11 a.m. Eastern on Money Movers. At the NASDAQ, it's Biotech Sky Bioscience celebrating its recent listing. Jim, on Ibotta, 6.6 million shares at 88. That's going to be above the range.
You know what? I like this. It's the biotechs that are leading us. When I go back over what Morgan Stanley said about the IPOs and what Goldman Sachs said about the IPOs, it's going to start with these companies first, because people now realize, a la the Horizon Therapeutics deal with Amgen, that you can get capital if you're biotech. Once you get capital, you can start doing a couple of trials. Once you get a couple of trials and you find, next thing you know, a Pfizer or Bristol Myers buys you. This is part of a virtuous circle that I really like to see.
Some of that was a topic of discussion with Jonathan Gray, David. Blackstone this morning on Squawk, talking about increased activity in capital markets and private credit.
Yeah, without a doubt. We can take a look at Blackstone stock. You know, interestingly, it's down and it's underperformed versus a number of its competitors this year, at least. And I sort of look under the alternative asset managers. I'm thinking about Apollo shares, which are up some 15%, KKR up 14%. We got the old OWL, OWL, up 23%+. Even Carlyle, Ares. Blackstone down 7.65% this year, despite, again, what was a decent quarter. Going through a lot of the numbers, Jim. You know, I mean, they're well over $1 trillion now in assets under management. Fee-related earnings of $1.2 billion in the quarter, $4.5 billion over the last 12 months. And, you know, it's real estate, it's private equity, credit insurance, and multi-asset investing. But you can see at least the stock for now has been taking a bit of a pause.
Yeah, you know, I know Jonathan, very good spokesperson. But you know what, David? When people hear Blackstone, what they think of is housing. Now, it's funny, they don't think of housing in the way that they think of D.R. Horton, which is screaming today because they had some really good growth. They think about it as maybe the wrong kind of real estate. David, I think it's an unfair characterization. You know that they are probably the largest when it comes to data centers. I think they have a narrative problem. I do not think that they have an earnings problem. They're not telling the story the way they should. They're letting the bears color the story. The other companies you mentioned, they seem like they're all set to do IPOs, all set to do deals. Blackstone seems like it's all set to do nothing. And you know, David, that's not a fair characterization.
No, it's not. I would argue that Mr. Gray is a pretty good spokesman and incredibly articulate in terms of the strength of the company. And he was, as usual, quite strong in discussing that with Andrew this morning on Squawk Box. You know, I also look to Gray to sort of give us a sense as to the overall economy, given their portfolio companies. Now, as you mentioned, real estate continues to be an incredibly important part of their overall business, BREIT, and other opportunities they have to deploy capital in various funds. But they do have an interesting lens, given all those portfolio companies and private equity. Take a listen to what Gray had to say about the broader economy and, of course, inflation and the Fed.
I want to give the Fed a little more credit here. I think their policy has been effective. We're seeing in our portfolio, which is really large, 230 companies, 12,000 real estate assets. We're seeing inflation continue its downward path, although the pace of that disinflation has slowed, which Fed officials have noted.
So there you have it, guys. You know, generally, I'd say a relatively positive view from Mr. Gray. Although did indicate, Carl, that deflation has slowed.
Yeah.
Deflationary effects.
Indeed. Speaking of some of that, Jim, we did have oil lower in the pre-market. WTI lowest pretty much for the month. It got below 82. But then we got on the tape a couple of bits of news about potentially resuming some Venezuelan sanctions. The president on the tape now regarding some potential sanctions on Iran. And that's put us back in the green.
Yeah, Venezuela, people don't realize that is now the largest repository of oil in the world. And it is obviously a failed state. The president doesn't really help the case here, didn't help the case by not refilling the petroleum reserve, not helping the case by getting involved with something in Venezuela that seems a bit of an abstraction. I still feel that oil will catch a bid under 80 because people feel, who knows, on Friday will once again revive the notion about something that might happen between Israel and Iran. Just want to go back for one second to David. David, how about this? I heard what you say, and as the stock guy, I come back and say, I listened to Gray. I heard what he said. I think they've got a great agglomeration of businesses that are making a lot of money. I want to buy the stock. I think it's very out of favor. And David, it's out of favor despite the fact that it has fabulous businesses that are away from real estate that don't get talked about. And it's not Jonathan's fault. It's the Bears' fault because people want to take down the private credit companies because a lot of people are saying that is the next big thing, like mortgages in 2007, 2008. You hear it. Private credit run amok, David. Yep. It's run amok and it's unregulated. What do you think?
That is certainly a key criticism from their competitors at the big banks who are obviously under a far stricter regulatory regime than are those who are able to extend private credit, to your point. The rejoinder from private credit would, of course, be we take the risk ourselves. We're not syndicating this broadly. We are buying this risk and we are fully underwriting it, doing the diligence that we need to and completely comfortable, and of course generating potentially double-digit returns oftentimes with some of the rates that they're paying. I hear you on that. Listen, they've got perpetual capital at Blackstone of $408 billion. That's up 7% year over year. And, you know, it's a fee machine and an asset gathering machine overall with assets up 7% year over year. That's not bad. We'll write it in the book there. 121.42 is where I'm going to put you down as a buyer, Jim, on Blackstone.
I'm in. I'm committed. They have the best part of the gross domestic product is their company portfolio. I like it. And I like what Jonathan Gray said about the Fed. And Carl, I do believe I'm beginning to get, for the first time, I'm getting some chinks in the so-called unbelievably strong economy. Not enough yet to define things. Not enough. But green shoots in a declining economy is actually what we need.
I'll tell you one thing, Jim. Wells is out. Chris Harvey, pretty interesting note about how Q1 earnings so far have been a negative catalyst in their view for large cap. And they go through all the negative commentary from ConAgra, J.B. Hunt, Lulu, Fastenal, CarMax, Walgreens, FedEx. Hasn't all been roses.
Holy cow, that is a very good list. I mean, some people this morning think that CSX isn't that good. I thought it was fine. It was indeed an inline number. But, wow, that is a surprisingly strong list of companies that are not delivering. And I don't know. I think that making a strong case for some company. Look at that CSX. It's actually not a bad quarter. I would go so far as to say that we've got some companies that I don't want to own because they're slowing. And you know what, David? Maybe March was the month that wasn't that good. And what I want to call people's attention to, that something that's been entirely overlooked by our network, David, Prologis. Do you know they're the largest real estate owner in the world? They own 5%.
Yeah, I thought Blackstone was actually the largest real estate owner, but.
Well, you know, look, let's just divide them up. You know, you all say right. Potato, I say potato. But look, there's 4 to 5% that is owned.
What are your thoughts on Prologis?
Yeah, that was good. Hi, Joe.
I know you have them on frequently on Mad Money as well. Give us more sense there in terms of what you're talking about, why it's a concern.
Okay, first, longer term, I want to tell you no concern because they are a very shrewd operator. And when Hamid Mogadon has come on the show many times. But, David, the fact is he came on 1 month ago, and said things were good pretty much everywhere other than Southern California. Suddenly, we heard that things aren't that good in New Jersey. We got to read that things aren't that good in Seattle. We got to read that things aren't that good in Savannah. We got a number cut. Now, number cut, David, in 30 days. I mean, I think, David, when you set your expectations 30 days and then you miss your expectations, David, they're slowing. They're slowing.
I mean, the stock is not down. We're talking PLD here, by the way, back in the control room, right? Prologis, it's only down 1.3%. It is a $100 billion market value company.
Well, I mean, if you look at the stock, let's say March 19, it was at 135.
Wow.
March 19.
Yeah, I didn't really look at that decline.
That's a very good barometer because, David, they're the best operator in the business. So I found that a nice piece of evidence for maybe Jay Powell saying, wait a second, things are not so hot that we are in a scorcher. And by the way, J.B. Hunt, I think we're talking about cutting price. That's right. Cutting price that they charge. That's what the Fed wants. It isn't just a Big Mac that's got to go down a dollar.
I do think we have to keep an eye on sort of these right now somewhat anecdotal things. I'm hearing, you know, again, as one-offs, restaurant, you know, somebody I know runs a large group of restaurants talking about rolling 12-month sales for liquor. Down double digits, declines across hundreds of units, sales declines accelerating, and they believe the consumer is sort of back on their heels a little bit more. Again, let's just keep an eye on it. I'm glad you're mentioning it. I'll, you know, we'll keep throwing things out there. It's unclear what it all means.
Well, Carl, you mentioned CarMax, okay? Now, Carvana's about to report. Carvana's a pretty good company. They got the pulse of things. But if we go back, look at this one. If we go back on CarMax, they're the biggest. It was in 88 on March of this year. 88. Look at that thing. This is a respected, good company, a $10 billion company, has bought a lot of stock in, and suddenly we have, and I know, like David said, it's anecdotal. By the way, Carl, I want to join him when it comes to liquor. This is a business, and it's really the browns and the clears. It's about whiskey, and it's about vodka. You don't want to be in that business, Carl. Not now.
You've been saying this for a while. And by the way, I didn't mention on that Wells list, Lamb Weston, which kind of points to restaurants. LVS, Jim, is the second worst performing S&P component at the moment on the back of those numbers.
Yeah.
Little underperformance
they
in Macau.
They had a poorly timed renovation. Yeah, they had some actual Macau issues that are pertinent to Macau only. We don't know how well they would have done if they didn't have the Reddy's issues involving the actual hotel property. Look, is it enough weakness to be able to say the Fed it might be out of the woods? No, but here's my thesis that I'm developing. January, good month. February, great month. March, not a great month. And I'm using the J.P. Hunt numbers. J.P. Hunt, okay, 2% growth in January, 3% in February, minus 1 in March. That is not anecdotal. That is the fourth largest trucker. And don't forget, for Prologis, who's the largest customers? We're talking about the Amazons, the Home Depots. We're talking about FedEx and Home Depot. David, these are real companies that are not, that are actually scaling back in warehouse.
Yeah.
I'm not worried. I think that they're good companies. But, you know, David, we have to be concerned that maybe we got too worried about a hot economy, and then March turns out to be weaker. Can you imagine?
It would be interesting, to say the least. I mean, we had the Fed chair just 2 days ago, though, say, you know, right now the data's not saying anything about a near-term cut. So, I don't know.
And we just got Philly Fed with a blowout number relative to expectations, Jim, and prices paid, highest of the year.
That's entirely related to the resurgence of the 76ers. I don't know what else, because there's nothing else to rave about in Philadelphia.
We are going to take them down.
David, I said yes. Blackstone's going to rally. And yeah. I think that that you guys are hobbled, okay? I'll take that, too.
We're what? What
By the way, we have some basketball players who are betting on games, so why can't I bet with you?
That was horrible. And I made a reflection to a certain extent of the times. Betting on yourself? Wow. Banned for life, though, of course, the gentleman in question.
Really quick, Jim. We didn't get to TSM with a double beat. Profit up 9, revenue up 16. They keep their CapEx unchanged. And we didn't mention Micron, which now looks like we're going to get the latest announcement next week of some of those chip grants. Going to be a big deal for Boise and Syracuse.
Yes. Now, Taiwan Semi, just so we know, why is it down? Well, it's down because they did not raise. It was actually up between 3 and 4, which was terrific. Micron was up about 3 early on when Frank Holland was on. It's now down a little. A lot of people feel that the $6 billion they got is no shocker because they built in America the whole time. So, David, again, if it's a good stock announcing good things, it's not doing anything for the stock. If it has any chink, meaning it's not guiding up, it's bad. And if it's guiding lower, like Prologis and J.P. Hunt,
yeah.
Well, it seems to go down day after day. The only stock that's got any mojo is United Health.
UNH, yes.
Mojo per share. You use that mojo per share. You're there,
of course,
right?
With no, the mojo that's a well-known metric. A well-known metric, and one that.
Thank you.
You're very low multiple mojo per share. Yeah, that stock is up over 3%. Jim, I do want to come to you on Netflix. Stock's down 1%, but up 25% going into tonight's earnings. Again, on the strength, really, of the last earnings report, which just blew it out. What are your expectations here?
Well, I do think that they've got that two-tiered model that a lot of people really like. In the new frugality, people are willing to see commercials. If you're willing to see commercials, that means Netflix can be very good. The number, when you have more than 200 million people involved, like 250 million, and maybe a lot of them are willing to pay that, you know, willing to see the commercials, and Netflix figures out the commercial model, which they hadn't yet, then maybe the price is justified. But they have to be able to say, we cracked the code on what commercials want, people want, what the advertisers really want. In that case, it can go higher. But David, if it hasn't cracked the code, then the stock will not rally.
Okay. We will, Carl, be awaiting that, of course, after the close tonight.
Yeah. And then next week, I don't know if you look at the calendar, but Verizon Monday, Tesla Tuesday, Microsoft, Google on Thursday. It's going to heat up.
We should point out, by the way, Tesla shares are now down a full 40% for the year, well below the half a trillion market value that we were looking at, $474 billion is where I've got them right now. And they're going to be issuing, 56 billion shares to Elon Musk if and when shareholders approve that compensation package, Jim.
Well, is there a clause which says that you can actually cut his compensation package because of the stock? Or is that just beyond the pale?
Previous targets having been met as a result of the 2018 package that was put in place that was already voted on by shareholders but somehow rejected by a Delaware court.
In reality, I think that he deserves it because that's what the contract said. And there's a lot of baseball players who get $250 to $300 million, and it doesn't matter if they stink.
It's true.
You know, it's a contract, and it should be honored. I didn't understand how this whole thing happened. He deserves the money because the contract said he's entitled. David, how did that happen?
Well, the Delaware court, in its ruling, it came back to the board of directors and their belief that many of those directors who voted on that compensation package were not unaffiliated, so to speak, and the interrelationships.
Well, time to move to Texas.
Board. Yeah,
let's just move to Texas.
Doing. They're moving to Texas.
And you and me,
not moving. They
Carl
are reincorporating
here.
In Texas.
Right.
It's an important
asking for a vote on
right.
That.
They've already moved headquarters to Texas.
Right.
Yeah,
I
guys,
like Dallas.
Not New Mexico. That's Disney. Disney's New Mexico.
Yeah. No, New Mexico, we have theme parks coming. They're coming. I'm down here at Comcast. I'm here to push New Mexico.
Epic Universe is part of the Morgan Stanley call today.
There you go. Comcast.
I got 500,000 acres all set.
He's ready. He's
Harry
got
Potter.
He's,
Harry
Carl,
Potter.
It's beautiful. You should see it.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
It's incredible. That land
the land
that
of enchantment / Comcast.
Busy day in fixed income and bonds. We'll get existing homes and LEI at the top of the hour. Also, decent diet of Fed speak today. Bowman, Williams, Bostic, twice, 10-year, 462. Don't go anywhere. Dow is still on track for the worst month since September of 2022, and most of the gains again today are going to be UNH, accounting for about 112 points of that 136. By the way, the first ever CNBC Changemakers event in New York City today. You can hear from this year's changemakers, including the American Ballet Theater's Misty Copeland, Commerce Secretary Raimondo, WNBA Commissioner Engelbert, and many others who will share how they're reshaping business and redefining leadership. You can scan this QR code or to learn more, visit cnbcevents.com/changemakers. Don't go anywhere. Let's get to Jim and stop trading.
Yeah, Carl, we've been talking about what I'm now calling brown shoots. We're actually looking for brown shoots because that'll make it so the Fed has it easier. One of the greatest manufacturing companies in this country is a company called Snap-on Tools. And this makes, we all know, the finest tools for auto mechanics. And their actual tools number was minus 6.9%. And this is somewhat shocking, given the consistency of this company. This is directly related to what I'm talking about, which is that there is a slowdown. This is about frugality, by the way. I mean, Snap-on Tools is franchises buy them, and then they sell them to little mom-and-pop stores. Apparently, the mom-and-pops are not buying as much as we thought. So just something to keep in mind. D.R. Horton, of course, is the other side of the trade. But Snap-on joins J.B. Hunt with a disappointing number and joins Prologis with a disappointing number and joins CarMax. So maybe things are a little more balanced and maybe March was bad.
Brown Shoots. Between that, Jim, and Apple Belt and Road, I mean, you are on fire this week putting themes into short phrases.
Just a sec. I just got my top for Mad Money. Thank you so much. And I will be back, of course, tonight for festivities. Thank you.
Safe travels, Jim. We'll see you soon.
Thank you, Jim Cramer.
You've been listening to The Opening Bell on CNBC's Squawk on the Street.
All opinions expressed by the Squawk on the Street participants are solely their opinions and do not reflect the opinions of CNBC, NBC Universal, or their parent company or affiliates, and may have been previously disseminated by them on television, radio, internet, or another medium. You should not treat any opinion expressed on this podcast as a specific inducement to make a particular investment or follow a particular strategy, but only as an expression of an opinion. Such opinions are based upon information Squawk on the Street participants consider reliable, but neither CNBC nor its affiliates and/or subsidiaries warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such. To view the full Squawk on the Street disclaimer, please visit cnbc.com/Squawk on the Street disclaimer.
This podcast is supported by FedEx. Dear small and medium businesses, no one wants happy customers more than you do. So you need a business partner just like you. Like FedEx, who understands your passion for serving your customers because they have the same commitment towards you. That's why FedEx offers you picture proof of delivery, packageless and paperless returns, as well as weekend home delivery to 98% of the U.S. on Saturday and 50% on Sunday. See the FedEx service guide for delivery information. What's more, FedEx Ground is faster to more locations than UPS Ground. Trust FedEx for timely deliveries. See what FedEx can do for your business. Absolutely, positively FedEx.